This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, you win one of the Paracast awards for that, which has no value whatever, but we're happy to have you do it. Now, you're telling us here in the previous segment and earlier in the show how the people you were in touch with who impressed you, you did what you could to do your due diligence to make sure they didn't pull a fast one on you. In the course of writing the book, did you run into people who did try to pull a fast one on you? Can you tell us more?
I didn't have a lot of time to do the book. I wished I'd had 2 or 3 more years, but I was very careful, you know, about who I approached ahead of time. No, I haven't personally run into that, although I know that it happens. There was this one physical medium, for instance, who was building up a kind of a reputation during the time I was writing the book, and somebody put a hidden camera in the room and he was caught cheating. So these things happen, but I didn't end up in any situations like that myself, no.
So I wanted to ask you, with regard to the person you were talking about, Stuart Alexander, how did this affect him physically and emotionally prior to the seance and then after the seance? Because it is my understanding that this can be incredibly physically and emotionally draining and demanding for the medium.
Yeah, it is for him. I mean, especially now, you know, he's 70 years old and he's been doing this for a long time. It is tiring, but he initially goes into a deep trance, and that happens very quickly for Stuart. I mean, within a matter of a minute or something. And sometimes when he comes out of it, at the end, he's tired. The transition can be slow, and he's tired after it. It would be very hard for him, for instance, to do it again the next day. You know, that would be very difficult. So he sits once a week with his circle, his small circle that he's been sitting with for 30 years or something. And yeah, but it is tiring, but he's just so used to it. He's been doing it for so long now that I don't think it's, you know, that bad for him. He's even done it before when he's been ill and he's been able to do it. So he just sort of goes. He just drifts into this trance. The people, whatever you want to call them, spirit, Stuart refers to him as the spirit people that speak through his body, actually just kind of take over his body, and he's gone. So, and that's, it's like being in a deep sleep. He's completely unconscious. So it's tiring, but it's not debilitating or anything for him.
I am sure you would have to get used to that, and he probably has a good support system around him, which is important. What does he remember anything when he goes under in this trance-like state? Does he remember the experience?
Absolutely nothing. It's like he's completely unconscious. So when he comes in, his first question is, was it good? He's so concerned that when he has guests there, like if I'm there, that he doesn't disappoint them. So his first concern is always, what happened? Was it a good sitting? And then people usually have to tell him that he has no idea what's going on. And by the way, I just want to let people know that Stuart himself actually wrote the concluding chapter to my book. He wrote it himself, and he's never done this before because he's such a private person. He has written a memoir, but it was published by a small publisher in England, and not that many people have read it. But he wrote this very fascinating chapter where he does talk about what it's like for him to be doing what he's doing and how he evolved and how long it took for this all to evolve with him. So I think people will find his chapter. I think it's incredible. People will really enjoy reading that.
Sounds incredible. Is his book, or his memoir, is that, even though it's probably out of print, I mean, could somebody go to Amazon and try to find a copy of that?
Absolutely. And I will mention that on my website too. It's called An Extraordinary Journey, and it's on Amazon, and you can order it. And I highly recommend it to anybody who's interested in physical mediumship or just in Stuart. It's a beautiful book. And that's what really turned me on to him when I first discovered that book. And I saw the video that I mentioned about him, and I thought, this is the guy. This is the guy that I want to meet and sit with for my book. There's nobody else. And it was just this instant chemistry that I felt, that he was the right person. He was the real thing. And I think anybody who reads this book will probably agree with that. So I recommend it.
I will get a copy. That sounds wonderful. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yes.
So a little bit later, our listeners have asked a lot of interesting questions of Leslie Kane. A little bit later, Erica will fish them up and take them out and go from there and see where they go. Now, Leslie, in terms of scientific research of either mediumship or possible contact with people who are no longer here, have scientists reached any understanding?
I would say no. I mean, scientists have explored the phenomena, which are the fascinating aspects of this, you know, the actual phenomena themselves. And of course, they have their own conclusions that they make, but they can't prove really that any of this has anything to do with the afterlife. It's highly suggestive of that, and they may make statements along those lines, but, you know, obviously we can't prove it. So the scientific research is absolutely essential and fascinating and compelling and very revealing of this, of lots of different areas that I think kind of interconnect with each other, which is one of the things I was trying to do in my book, was to show how different areas interconnect and support other areas of research. Because in the past, these areas have tended to be all presented separately. You know, one book would be about one specific aspect, like one person's NDE or after-death communications or whatever. But I'm trying to show how they all interrelate. Now I forget what your question was, Jean. I'm sorry. Your question.
I think it was about basically scientific research. Scientists,
yeah,
who are trying to figure out what's going on and whether they have any ideas about this phenomenon.
They have a lot of good data and a lot of good case studies, but whether they can actually, what their ideas are about what it means, that's something completely different. But again, I'm going to post some of these great case studies on my website. I hope people will read them.
They absolutely will. And I, you know, looking through some of the pieces in your book and what you're offering, I mean, there's, you talk about different mediums throughout history at the Palladino. And of course, you mentioned earlier Indrelson. And yeah, I mean, this is really fascinating to me. Are there some other mediums that stood out to you back when this really took root that were absolute frauds that kind of discredited what the real mediums were trying to do?
I mean, there were lots of frauds, but I didn't spend time studying them at all because I just don't think they're interesting. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of them, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, you mentioned that there have been great mediums through history that have been studied so thoroughly, such as Eusebia Palladino, who you mentioned, the medium Eusebia Palladino, who you mentioned, Erica, from Italy, who was, you know, these three skeptics were sent to study her, who had every intention of proving her to be a fraud. And these were like the leading debunking skeptical studiers of mediumship in the world, and they had already proven so many to be frauds who they had studied. Mm-hmm. So they knew what the tricks were. They studied and did a series of studies on Eusebia in a very 100% controlled environment, and they had no choice but to acknowledge that she was producing phenomena that they couldn't explain. And so there are situations like that which are really scientific proof of the reality of the phenomena that these mediums can provide. Now, whether they have anything to do with dead people or not, that's the ultimate question.
Right.
And that's the question that's hard to answer. Of course, the mediums have absolutely no, they don't have any question about it. And you'll read what Stuart Alexander says. They can't imagine that it could possibly be anything else. But the outside intellectuals looking in, and I have to say that a lot of the skeptics obviously haven't sat with these mediums themselves, but a lot of the people raise that question. Even Stephen Browdy, who's an investigator I should have mentioned earlier, who I highly respect, who I quote throughout the book. He's absolutely extraordinary, brilliant thinker on this topic. And, you know, he'll raise the question of whether these phenomena are just created through human capacities and have nothing to do with dead people. I mean, that's the question.
Let's break it here and we'll pick up on this. We got Leslie Kane and Erica Lukes and Jean Steinberg. Chris is on special assignment. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, of course, the question is here, is this phenomena caused by somehow communicating with dead people? Maybe some advanced form of mind reading? Where are the sources here? What could it possibly be? You say the mediums like to assume it's contact with the dead, but isn't that really an article of faith?
Well, I don't think they feel there's any other way to explain it. And I think when you read what happens with Stuart Alexander, you would find it very hard to explain away also. It would take me a long time to explain it. But when you have these independent entities speaking through them who have previously lived on the earth and who can produce these extraordinary phenomena in the seance room that Stuart couldn't possibly imagine that he could ever do himself while he was completely unconscious. I mean, to him, it's just inconceivable. Plus, the people in the room have gotten to know these spirit people so well over the years that they just don't doubt their reality. It just becomes a sort of another world in there, and that's how they operate. There's no proof. You know, everybody has to make up their own decision. What can you say? It's just, it is hard to explain how one human being could materialize another human being and not have some kind of external force being involved with that process. That's the question. Is there an external force involved, or is it all coming through the extraordinary psychokinetic abilities of the medium to somehow create something alive and physical in the room? Who knows? Which is the explanation harder to accept? I mean, they're both hard to accept. That's the thing.
Well, I suppose it doesn't matter what explanation is easier to accept. It is what the real explanation is.
But that we will probably never know.
Absolutely not. And I wanted to say that, you know, for the skeptics, you were mentioning the skeptics that visited Palladino, how mind-boggling. And that must be really hard for somebody that has such a skeptical bent to actually understand that there is something that is very real. And when people discount some of these current things taking place now, most of them have not ever put themselves in a position where they could experience that, and yet they're still making their broad statements that this has been debunked. And I find that quite comical in a way. Unless you're there like you, and you could see this with your own eyes and understand that there was nothing else at work, it's just interesting.
I agree. I mean, the great investigators of the historical investigators, such as one of the ones who did investigate Eusebio Palladino, has written that very thing. He wants every scientist who is interested in this topic, they absolutely must sit with the mediums themselves, or there's no way that they can do a proper investigation. And that's a really important consideration. And the interesting thing, too, about when these skeptical people did study Eusebio Palladino, they kept a sort of a daily written record, and they described their own personal transformation, their own reactions to what was going on, their own desire to prove her a fraud, and their frustration with the fact that they couldn't do it. And so it's fascinating to read, for any skeptic, to read what these three individuals wrote in the process they went through when they came up against this and had no choice but to recognize that these phenomena were actually occurring. They had no choice.
And that's great that they journaled, that they wrote entries about their personal kind of transformation from skeptic to understanding that there's more to reality. That's important.
They published a long study on the case, and that included, you know, just sort of some of their reactions that they came up with as they went along. So you can read about it. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's one of the great works we have in this field for that everybody should read.
Well, it certainly is something that looks to me like it's worth exploration by almost anybody, not just because it's become popular culture and you see it in movies and on TV shows and things like that, that real people do these things. Now, when you look at a medium, how does that medium compare with someone who calls themselves a psychic?
Well, that's a good question, Gene. And a psychic would be somebody who uses their own psychic abilities to sit down with somebody else and give them information that they're picking up psychically. So a psychic reading doesn't involve any connection to any deceased people on the part of the medium. And they're clear about that. You go to a psychic reading, you're getting psychic information. You might get information about your future or what your career choices should be. You might ask questions about your marriages, things like that. But when you go to a mediumship reading, as opposed to a psychic reading, you are connecting with a deceased person that you've lost if the medium is successful, if the reading is successful. And that's the difference. In that case, the medium is bringing in the energy of a deceased person that is connected to the sitter. And you're hoping to connect with that person, and you're hoping to get enough information that you become convinced that that person is actually the person that they claim to be, that it is your deceased friend or family member. And the only way you can be convinced of that is to be given a lot of accurate information so that the person identifies themselves to you. And that's the process of what goes on in a mediumship reading. And there isn't necessarily a lot of messaging that comes through. It's more just wanting to be convinced that that person has survived death. That's the point of it.
Well, the other interesting thing here is if they're communicating with dead people, and I keep thinking of the line in the movie The Sixth Sense. The movie, of course, had that famous line, "I see dead people." And he was seeing literally people who had died, including the Bruce Willis character, which is the big spoiler of the film. In any case, here, therefore, we get to assume that the medium is communicating with people who are died. People who are dead have the ability to somehow communicate with the living. Isn't that really the core of it right there, whether that's possible?
Very important point, Gene. I mean, absolutely critical. And I address this very issue in my introduction to my book, and everybody has to be aware of it, that if we are going to accept what we call the survival, the evidence for survival, if we are going to look at the data that we have and interpret it as being evidence for the survival of consciousness, there are certain assumptions that we are making about the nature of that reality. And one of them is just what you said. We're making the assumption that dead people want to communicate with us, that they can communicate with us, that they can find somebody called a medium through which to communicate with us. All these things have to be part of the scenario that we're allowing to be real in order to be able to interpret it this way, if you get my point. So it's a very astute insight that you've had, and I think most people who want very much to believe in survival past death are not willing to acknowledge that we are making certain assumptions about it that may not, that we have to believe in order to interpret the data in that way. Otherwise, we could say it could mean anything. And how do we know what the afterlife is like? How do we know that anybody who has died would want to communicate with us or could communicate with us? We don't.
So, well, I can suppose one other wacky theory, which I'll voice in our next segment, is about a possible universal consciousness. We have Leslie Kane, Erica Lukes, and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Mass deportations, a ban on terrorist countries, protecting our border, a huge expansion of jobs. President Trump is really shaking up Washington and the media. David Horowitz's new book, Big Agenda, reveals Trump's secret plans. Now, Big Agenda is a New York Times bestseller. Newsmax calls it the best Trump book yet. Rush says you need to get it. It's in bookstores everywhere, or get our free offer at 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE
for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Leslie Kane, author of Surviving Death. You see, I'm mentioning that book lots of times so people won't forget. Leslie, about a universal consciousness, what about the other theory that maybe when you die, you are no longer an individual? But if someone seeks contact, whatever element of the universal consciousness has what used to be you is able sometimes to respond.
Yeah, I mean, that to me seems like a completely valid possibility. I'm no expert on interpreting this stuff. Your expertise is just as good as mine. So what people, of course, are most interested in is that personal survival. If we all just become universal consciousness, the question is then how would we be able to be accessed through a medium? But you're suggesting that maybe the part of us that does survive can somehow be accessed. That to me seems like a perfectly valid hypothesis.
And you wonder also if the person who is dead even knows they're dead.
That's another good question. There's so many interesting things to contemplate with this that we don't have answers for. That's another really great question. I'm just learning here. I'm a journalist. I've taken a lot of data. I had some experiences. I put it into a book. And I think I've really distilled what the best kind of evidential material is. But there's a lot of things that I'm still learning. So,
Erica, could you dig up the questions from the forum and the question bank? Maybe bring them out. Is it possible here that children are more sensitive to such things, and maybe the sensitivity is kind of drilled out of them as they go to school and they are brainwashed, as it were?
Well, certainly in my book, I've studied cases of young children that are connected with past lives. In that sense, I would say yes. It's possible maybe they're more open in other ways, too. I mean, we know that children have an openness that does tend to go away, so you may have had more experience of that than I have, Gene. In my book, I'm particularly interested with the studies on young children who remember accurate details about past lives, and then they are shown to be accurate after the fact. And I bring forth two cases in my book that are wonderful American cases. One of them involves a two-year-old boy, so young, providing all this information that he couldn't possibly have known and kind of reliving the experiences of another life. So I feel that of all the past life memory cases, and that whole field is huge. There have been so many studies done on reincarnation. I think the ones that are most evidential are the ones involving young children and the ones that can be verified as accurate, which isn't always possible. But in those where it is possible, it's quite amazing.
Well, if someone's 2 years old, what and how do they convey the possibility they're sensing something beyond our life?
Well, in the one case that we could use as an example is the case of James Leininger, and some people may already be familiar with this case. He was 2 years old, and one of the first things he said when he learned how to talk, here's an example. He was his mother was pushing him in a stroller by a toy shop, and she picked up a plastic airplane from a bin outside. And she said to James, the little boy, he wasn't even two yet. She said, "Look, James, it has a bomb under it." And he looked at the thing and he said to his mom, "That's not a bomb, it's a Dwap tank." He couldn't say his R's quite right. So his mother went home and asked her, "Dad, what's a drop tank?" And his dad said, "Well, it's something that's put under an airplane when they're traveling long distances to store fuel or whatever." I mean, he knew what it was, but they could not fathom how this two-year-old child knew what a drop tank was or knew that it was something under an airplane. And that was mild. That was the very first thing. But James came up with a lot of very specific information. So even though he was barely talking, he would come out with very, very specific things like the name of an aircraft carrier called the Natoma, was actually called the Natoma Bay. But for a two-year-old to come up with that when he'd never been exposed to anything about the Natoma Bay before, you know, it just freaked out his parents. I mean, they didn't know where this information was coming from. And then he had terrible nightmares reliving the death from his previous life, and eventually was able to talk about that and provide names and places and enough hardcore information that eventually they were able to figure out who the person was that James was referring to, and to check everything out and find out that he had been accurate with everything that he said. It was a long process, and his dad was the main investigator, kept careful records of everything, and was determined to prove his child was not telling the truth, or that his child was not remembering a past life, because it was a terrible challenge to his dad's Christian faith. He could not accept this as being real. And part of what I had him do in my book is write for me some excerpts for the chapter where I tell the story of his son's reincarnation memories, in which he details his own struggle, his spiritual struggle in dealing with this, and how he eventually came through at the end with a positive connection to the whole thing. But anyway, that's it in a nutshell. It would take a long time to give all the details, but that's a kind of case that's very hard to explain away. Let's put it that way.
And there are, and this is the interesting thing about reincarnation, there are some very profound cases, especially, you know, when you have these small children that live and they're not exposed to the media, they're not exposed to, I mean, they live in very rural places, and they have either scars or significant night terrors, nightmares. They're recalling these names, and then you find that a couple towns away there was somebody that was murdered, and the scar, that the injury took place in the same place where the small child has the scar. And I mean, so there's some really interesting correlations here that are hard to dismiss. And the trauma that these young children are reliving due to the past life is very intriguing as well. And it almost seems to, once they find closure and find out really what is happening and identify with this other person, they can really put that to bed and move on with their lives.
That's right. I mean, often the children, they when they do have enough information to discover the location, say, of where they lived before, or the parents will often, and the investigators, they might take the child back to the location where they lived before, or the child will meet members of that previous family, which is what happened in James's case. And so those kinds of events, as you say, Erica, provide a sort of a resolution for them. And they do move on. And usually by the time they're six or seven, they've completely forgotten all the memories that they had. And they just go on and live in the present. Fortunately, it'd be very difficult if that didn't happen. But there is a sort of resolution that comes from connecting with the actual place or people from that previous life.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating. And there's a question in the chat room just about what role, if any, does past life regression therapy using hypnosis play? So a question from Chris Johnson here. He wants to ask you specifically about past life regression therapy using hypnosis.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people do that, and it's very meaningful, and sometimes I'm sure they get information that can be verified. I didn't cover it in my book just because I had such limited space in the book. There was so much more I wanted to cover than I could. And since I think that the child cases are the most sort of scientifically evidential of all the material we have on reincarnation, I focus exclusively on those cases. And because they're just the evidential aspect of them is so strong. And I don't think it's quite as strong for when you involve, you know, hypnosis with people and they're adults. It's just a different kind of a thing. So, sure. But you know, I it's fascinating. And what can I say? I'm sure it has a big impact on people to do that.
Absolutely. He also mentions many lives, many masters. And I remember reading that book, 10, 15 years ago. I'm sure that you're familiar with that as well.
Yeah, I did read that book a long time ago also. Maybe that's when it first came out. I don't remember when it first came out, but I did read it.
More to come with listener questions. Leslie Kane and Erica Lukes, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You may own a knife, but if it's not an indie hammered knife, it's not a knife. From the forge to the grinder to the sheath, each indie hammered knife is handcrafted using God-given talent. The result is the sharpest edge a knife can have and a true work of art. See a variety of knives and the complete knife kit at ihknives.com. Indie hammered knives. Custom knives. Made in America.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We continue with guest co-host Erica Lukes, and Leslie Kane is our guest for this week, and we're talking about the possibility of life after death, and now we've been focusing a bit on reincarnation. I guess the theory has it here that when you die, you are reborn in another body, and that sometimes the person in this new body retains some memories of the old life. But then the thing I always wondered about, and it has nothing to do with whether this is true or not, is if you're being judged whether to return to Earth based on your behavior in a previous life, if you don't remember that life, how do you avoid repeating the same mistakes?
I mean, it's all complete speculation. And my interpretation would be, and again, it's pure speculation, that we're not supposed to remember these past lives. And the people that do remember them, there's something wrong. And somehow the information slips through, or maybe there's something they're very unresolved about. But I don't know, you know, I can't answer any of those more, I don't know what you call those kinds of questions, but I don't know the answers to any of it. It's just, for me, it's just, here's data, and how do you interpret it? I don't know. So many questions.
Sure, it's the kind of thing that you can't prove.
I mean, yeah, and all we can do is look at cases in which, you know, a child remembers, there's one case, the other case I present in the book, he remembered 55 specific, accurate memories about the life of somebody who died decades before he was born and has no connection to him or the family. And the child has absolutely no doubt that he was that person. And the memories were so accurate, and the emotions are so strong that are connected with it too. And so it does raise the question of, well, therefore, does this mean we survive death? I mean, if you even have a couple of cases that are strong like this, what does it mean? It looks as if that person's consciousness has survived from one life to the next. So where do we go from there? Well, we have to look at, can consciousness even exist independently of the body, first of all? And then I do explore that question in my book, and we look at cases of veridical OBEs and things like that, which show that, yes, consciousness seems to be able to exist independently of the body. Therefore, maybe it can transition from one life to another. We don't know.
Or it may just be that the child is remembering something that someone lived, the life that someone lived, but it wasn't them being reincarnated. It's tapping into somebody's soul that exists somewhere.
I suppose that's true. I mean, you'd have to ask why that would be the case. Why would it be some one particular person that they would tap into? Or maybe it's accidental. I mean, I don't know.
We have a question from Dave M. in chat, and he wants to know what your thoughts are on a soul. Do you believe that the soul is the true nature of a human being? And that's a very deep and loaded question, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, how would he define the word soul? That would be my initial question. When he says soul, what does he mean? Is it a religious concept? Is it? Because I use, in my book, I tend to think of it as consciousness. I call it consciousness, as maybe that's the same thing that he's talking about when he says soul. I don't know. To me, it has sort of a religious connotation to it. So he's asking what the nature of the soul is, or?
If you believe that the soul is the true nature of a human being.
I can't possibly say. I mean, it seems to me that consciousness, I would maybe word it that way, is sort of the essence of the human being. There is some essential spiritual nature, it seems to me, that we all are deep down. But I don't know. I don't know how I would describe it or what word I would use to describe that.
Okay. Thank you.
I also don't claim to be any kind of an expert on that kind of question either. So, you know.
Well, right. I mean, you're good at looking at the data, presenting the data, and remaining objective.
I think that's what I'm trying to do. But I also had my own confounding experiences. But I tried to be as objective about those as I could in the book as well.
Well, you referred to experiences with mediums. Anything else you haven't mentioned?
Well, I did have these communications quotes, or what you know, there are a lot of people. There's a whole field of study called after-death communication. So I believe that I was recipient of some of those from my brother who died during the course of the writing of this book, actually, in 2013. So I did have some experiences with that I never expected would happen. And those are, in some sense, they're sort of like having the experience you might have with a medium, only they're direct. There's no intermediary. So with a medium, you're depending on this intermediary for the information. When you have a direct communication, it's something completely different, and it has a far bigger impact on you, but it's also less objective. So you have an experience. You may be the only person involved with that experience, and no, you can never prove it to anybody else, but the impact that it has is really intense, depending on the nature of the experience. So it's very, in some sense, it's non-evidential in that way. But so many people have these experiences, and I thought about maybe not even writing about my own, but then I thought it wouldn't be an honest book if I didn't, because these experiences occurred during the writing of the book and they obviously had a big effect on me. So as personal as they are, I thought that it wouldn't be honest of me to leave them out. So I did include them. So that's another component of the book.
These mediums with whom you communicated, once they delivered results that impressed you, did you acquaint them with who you were and what you were doing?
Yes, I did. And I let them know how accurate they were. And then I also did interviews with them and wrote about in the book, you know, after the fact, just tried to get to the bottom of how they do what they do. What is, you know, how do they differentiate? This was a big question I wanted to ask these mediums. How do they differentiate between information that is coming from what they call the spirit world, is coming from the deceased person, as opposed to information that's from their own psychic ability? And how do they distinguish between those two? Because that's the bottom line question when it comes to evidence for survival. You want to know, are these mediums, how do they know they're speaking, they're getting information from a deceased person or from a spirit person? And so I did these interviews with both the mediums in which I asked them those kinds of questions and asked them about their process, how they do it, those kinds of questions. So, yeah, so they did find out after the readings that I was writing a book on it, but they didn't know anything about that before the readings.
Do they both use the same process?
Their styles are somewhat different. It's similar. It's basically sort of the same in essence, it's the same process where they're sort of acting like this telephone wire to the other side, as they call it, and they're bringing in information. But the two styles that they had were quite different. One of them was longer, more in depth, very full of spiritual energy, and it was just full of light and energy, and details, and the second medium was shorter and very, very specific, like almost like a series of bullet points. She would just say, bing, bing, bing. Okay, bing, bing, bing. And these facts would just come out of her that she said were being delivered by this person. So, but the essential process is the same. They're basically putting out an antenna into this other world and receiving information that the sitter, me, was drawing through them because of my connection to that person on the other side. That's how they explain what's going on.
Now, this may be different for each one of these mediums. Did they learn how to do this by accident? Did they do research? Did they take a course? What?
No, I mean, the two that I got to know here, Sandra and Laura, both were born basically with these abilities. They grew up with them. And they initially believed that everybody, you know, it's like the boy in the Sixth Sense. Everybody sees dead people, right? Or everybody knows when their grandfather's going to die in a week. And they gradually learned that was not the case, but it was just a completely natural abilities that they had. Yeah, they struggled with it. Sandra describes just completely turning them off at one point because she just wanted to be a regular teenage girl. She didn't want these things happening to her. So I think my sense of a really good medium is it's very hard to go to school and learn how to do this.
That's 2/3 of the episode. We've got a lot more to come with our guest Leslie Kane and guest co-host Erica Lukes. As I said, Chris O'Brien is off on special assignment, catching up on things that will help improve his bottom line, so he'll be back soon. In the meantime, we will continue learning more about possible survival after death and lots more things. And by the way, don't forget to go to plus.theparacast.com to learn about the Paracast Plus and our special show After the Paracast. Erica Lukes is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.